Well, amen. Welcome, everyone, to Bridge City Church, Murraysville. If I haven't had the privilege of meeting you and introducing myself, I'm Pastor Eric, one of the pastors here at Bridge City Church, and so excited. Literally, I'm always so excited to be here with you on Sundays. Nowhere else I'd rather be than right here with all of you. And we are going to have a little more worship at the end after the message. We're also going to be offering a time of prayer for you guys. We have prayer teams lined up, ready to go. We want to continue to pray for you, to pray as you need and meet those needs as well. I have asked God to meet those needs, and we're putting first things first, right? Last week, we started this series, putting first things first, kicking off 2023 with repentance, really turning from our own self, our own way, and turning towards God. But today is going to be really focusing on putting first things first, and that's praying first. Being first response is prayer. So let me ask you with this, before we jump into the text, is how many of you have ever built something? Like a piece of furniture, or you got a toy for a kid? Most of us have done that. I've had a lot of experience building things, putting things together. And I'll be honest, a lot of times I open a box up, and you find those pieces of paper that are in there that have these things called instructions on them. And typically, I take those instructions, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't need that. And I'll figure it out, right? I'll put this thing. I've built stuff before. I've done this, right? I can figure this out. And most of the time, partway through, I go, something's not right. Why are there all these extra pieces? Or maybe I may have put this on backwards, and I'll just take it apart and restart over, and I do it again. And then I sometimes will do it again and realize, like, okay, where are those instructions? And, you know, I'm digging through the trash or trying to find those instructions, and I start reading. And usually they have, like, this whole section in the front of them. It's like warnings and, like, safety. I'm like, I don't have time to read all that. I already lost all this time trying it on my own. So I got, oh, there's the step. And I jump in, step seven, right? And I'm like, because I'm already partway through. So I had to have got it started, right? And oftentimes I realize, oh, I really got to go back to step one. Or sometimes that information at the very beginning, the warnings, was very important and would have helped me a lot along the way. Like, make sure not to use this thing on this product. Make sure not to, and all those things that were really, really helpful for us. But oftentimes, I feel like I don't have time to stop and read the instructions. Or I can do it on my own. I can figure it out. I've read instructions before. It can't be that hard. But then we come to this instruction manual. And don't we do the same thing so often? I've read this before. I've read instructions before. I don't need this. You know, I can get through today without them. And or we think, I don't have time to read the instructions. God, I got a lot of stuff to do today. I'm too busy. And we try to figure it out on our own. And what happens more often than not, we go, something's not right. I'm missing a piece. I did something backwards. And we're going back to the instruction manual and going, oh, that's what I missed. Oh, God, that was really important information I should have read first. And the reality is, taking time to read the instructions is the most productive thing you can do any given day. Reading the instructions is going to help you be more effective and more productive throughout your day. Instead of waiting till we get to that place where we go, whoops, how do I fix this? And we go back and then we read the instructions. And just like when we read our instructions, we often say we don't have time for them. And we often say we don't have time to pray. I hear from people all the time, like, well, I just don't have time to pray. I wake up and I got to get kids ready. I got to get ready for work. I got to get all the stuff going. And I got to read everyone's social media. I got to catch up on really important things in other people's lives. Right? There's all this other stuff that we put first rather than praying first. Reading our Bibles first. Reading our instruction manual first. And sometimes we get this barrier between us with us and God. Where we look at, how many of you are married? Just show of hands. How many of you have been married? How many of you know a family member? Right? I say this as, how many of you have ever been offended or upset with somebody? Don't look. Keep your eyes up here. Eyes up here. But when you're upset with somebody, a family member, a spouse, or there's conflict, there's tension, it's really hard to have a conversation with them, isn't it? Right? It's hard to come to them in a loving communication when we're upset with somebody. Or we feel like they're upset with us. In a similar way, oftentimes I hear from people, they have a hard time going to God because maybe they're upset with what he did or how he did something. He allowed something bad to happen to them. Or they feel like he's upset with them because they know they're not living the perfect lifestyle. They know they got some stuff in their life that they need to deal with, and they're afraid to go to God. They're feeling that tension of like, God, I don't think I can come to him. I can't talk to him in this relationship because I think he's mad at me. Instead of realizing God's heart and his love and his embrace is open for us every second of every day, he's saying, come to me. I want to talk with you. I want to speak to you. I want to have this communication with you. And I want you to come to me in prayer first, not as a last resort, but as a first resort. As option number one, we're going to pray first. And God usually says yes, no, or not yet. But if it's a no or if it's a not yet, we still pray. We still go about our day. We still go to work. We still get kids ready. We still make food. We still do all the other things, but we pray first. And we got to start there, responding with prayer first. And we're going to get into talking a little bit about fasting today. I'm going to help you understand if you've never fasted or maybe you've never successfully fasted. I want to give you some resources and help you understand what it means to pray and fast. So with that, let's pray. Father God, we thank you, God, for your word. God, we thank you that your word, your instruction manual for our lives, God, that you've given it to us, that you don't keep it secret or hidden, but God, you want to reveal these instructions to us. You want to help us understand what things to watch out for, what things not to do. And God, you want to give us the things to do. God, more importantly, God, I pray that you'd speak to each one of us right now, God, not giving us a list of things to do and don't do, but God, that you'd speak to our hearts. God, that you'd open our hearts. God, that we would come with open hearts to receive what you have to speak to each and every one of us. God, we thank you for the privilege it is to gather together, to worship, and to hear your word. May you receive all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Matthew 6:33. Why is it? It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All these things were things that the disciples were worried about, and Jesus was teaching about giving to the poor and finances and stuff, and they're so worried about all this stuff. And he says, he's like, listen. All these things of the world will be added to you, but you got to seek the kingdom of God first. That word seek is to inquire, to investigate, to get to the bottom of the matter. It's not just casually going, well, hey, do you want to go to church Sunday? I don't know. It's intentionally going. It's seeking after, not just one day a week or a couple hours a week, but a continual seeking and searching each and every day. It's seeking to reveal. It's seeking to uncover what's hidden beneath. There's a lot of stuff, and this is God's wisdom. It's his instructions for our lives and speaks to so many different areas of our life. I'd say every area of our life is in this book. We have to seek it, though. We have to dig and get to the bottom of the matter. Seek first. The word first, big surprises, at the beginning, not at the end, not after we've tried everything else, after we've tried on our own, but first things first, praying first, seeking at the beginning. That's why we're starting this year off with putting first things first. The kingdom. The kingdom is the rule of Christ in believers' hearts. In every one of our hearts as a follower of Jesus. If you call yourself a Christian, what's the kingdom is the rule of Christ. He's in charge. Christ is Jesus. He is the chosen one, the Messiah, that he calls the shots. So we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All the things of the world will be given to us after that. So many times we get that reverse and we try in the world, and then we go to God as a last resort. But this isn't just a checkbox on our list. It's not wake up, pray, read your Bible, got my check mark, good for tomorrow, right? I love the Bible app, and sometimes it's like, you got 7 days in a row, and I'm like, yay, but then I realize, like, how much did I really read? How much did I really study? How much did I really pray? How much did I really, just getting those check marks isn't the goal. Now, those are good, but we got to move up from there. See, Jesus didn't tell the disciples to stop worrying and do nothing else, but he actually replaced it. He said, do not worry. Don't be anxious, but rather replace it with something better. Praise, worship, glorifying God, thanking God. See, habits and passions need to be replaced with something else. A lot of times we stop at just, well, don't worry. Don't have fear. Don't be stressed. How's that working for anybody? Right? What happens? You focus on it even more. If I tell you, don't worry about gas prices, don't worry about groceries, don't worry about the economy, don't worry about politics, don't worry about this, don't stress about tomorrow, don't. What are you thinking about more now? All those things I just listed. Right? Instead, replacing it with, what do we focus on? We focus on the things of God. We focus on his promises. He promises his provision. He promises protection, his rest. We find rest in him, not in Netflix, not in Hulu, not in any of the other stuff that you can find rest in, but rest in God. We can find true peace and joy in our lives. You know the acronym, it's an old acronym, JOY, J-O-Y. It's putting Jesus first, then others, then yourself. A lot of times we go, hey, Jesus, pick me, and we get joy all mixed up. If you truly want to have joy, seek his kingdom first. Think of others first. What if we just prayed for other people? Man, just start praying for other people. God bless them. God help them. God, I pray for joy for them and peace for them. God, bring healing to them. God, pray. Oh, guess what? I don't have time to pray for myself anymore. And all my problems and all the list of stuff I have, not that big of a deal. Hey, this person's got cancer. Hey, this person's got surgery. This person lost a loved one. This person, man, when you start praying like that, it shifts your heart. It's just your perspective where it's not me going to God with my list. It's saying, God, I'm going to pray for what matters to you. And that's more often not other people and their issues and their challenges and their trials. So there's two times to pray and fast. When you know what God is asking you to do. If God has asked you to do something, it usually requires faith. It requires more than what you can do in your own strength. Just as Jared shared, like, going to work every day and coming home and eating and sleeping and wake up and do it again. Reality, that doesn't take much faith, right? Anybody can do that. But when God asks you to do something, especially when it makes you uncomfortable, which every time he asks me to do something, it's usually uncomfortable or it's not going to be easy in my strength. But whenever he asks you to do something and you know what it is, you should pray and we can fast. Second time you should pray and fast, when you don't know what to do. So that pretty much covers everything, right? When you know what he's saying and when you don't know what he's saying, that's when we should pray and fast. Whenever someone comes to you and says, hey, I don't know what to do with this situation. Hey, I'm not feeling this is the place where I'm supposed to be at work. Or I'm not sure where God's leading me. Let's pray. Let's pray first. Or hey, God just called me to go to Guatemala on a mission trip. What do I do? Let's pray. Let's pray first. And then we go wherever he leads us. It's such a beautiful thing, but it's so much harder to do than just saying it out loud. It's harder to do to pray first each and every time something comes up. So in context of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is actually sharing. He says, when you pray, three times, verses 5, 6, and 7, all three verses, Jesus is teaching them how to pray and talking. He says, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray. Verse 9, he says, well, pray then this way. And then verse 16 and 17, he talks about when you fast. He didn't say, hey, if you get around to it, you can pray this way. Hey, if you're not too busy, this is how you pray. Hey, if things aren't going well, this is how you fast. He just assumes and expects us to pray and to fast. It comes as an expectation as a follower of Jesus that we would pray, that we'd go to him in prayer. And I understand we're going to get into a little more practical and what that looks like and how that is. It doesn't have to be these big, long, elaborate prayers with a lot of big words and Greek words and Hebrew words. It's getting the right heart starts with getting the right word, will give you the right words to speak. I hear from people all the time, like, I just don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say, and I don't know the Bible. I can't quote scripture like the pastors, and they don't pray. God doesn't care about all that stuff as much as he cares about your heart. He wants to know, are you longing for him? Are you wanting more of him saying, God, I've got a taste of you and I want more. God, I've had a sip from heaven and I want more of you. He wants to know that we just want to be with him and want to communicate with him and our spouses. And believe this is for some of us here that, man, your spouse just wants to know you're there for them. that you're steadfast with them. You're not going to be putting other things before them other than God. Just saying, I want to be with you means so much, and God wants the same thing from us. Saying, I want to be with you. I want to communicate with you. I want to talk with you. So here's the big idea. Every child of God has the privilege to pray for these three things: to grow in the strength of God, to be grounded in God's love, and for the greatness of God's power to be demonstrated. How many of you, one, two, or all three of those, you want more of that? You want to grow in the strength of God. You want to be grounded in his love. You want to see the power, God's power demonstrated in and through your life. Well, two decisions that will affect every decision you make. Pretty big deal, right? Two things you got to settle in your heart is who is God and who are you? It'll affect every decision you make. When you realize who is God, how great is he, what's he capable of, what's he able to do, to know who God is, that's grounded in his love, which we're going to get into. The first one is to grow in the strength of God. That's I know who I am in Christ. I know who I am on my own in my flesh, but man, when you know who you are in Christ, it changes every decision you make. Fear comes in. I know who I am, devil. Get away from me. I know who my dad in heaven is. You got nothing on me. I know when the devil comes to accuse, to attack, to shoot his fiery arrows at us. No, I got that shield of faith. Like, I know who I am in Christ. I know who my God is. And the world and the devil can't affect you nearly as much when we understand those two things and we have the right perspective of them. I want our Bridge City Church culture to grow and increase in prayer, not in talking more. Oftentimes, we talk about all the problems, about our issues, about our challenges, or we think about them so much and we think we're praying, but we're really not praying. Praying involves words coming out of our mouth. By yourself, with somebody else, with a group of people, with a pastor, with somebody. It involves you and God speaking and communicating back and forth. We must get beyond just thinking about problems and really praying through them, praying through challenges, praying through trials, praying for other people. Because it doesn't always change your circumstances, but in my life, it's always changed my perspective. Typically, it changes my attitude as well. Whenever I go to God in prayer. So we're going to pray first to grow in our inner strength, and we're looking at Ephesians chapter 3. And there's so much in even just this chapter, let alone the book of Ephesians. I wish we could stay all day and just unpack it. I know a lot of you are like getting excited. Oh, can we do that? We can stay after and do that. I'm looking at a few of you, I know. But Ephesians 3, there's so much packed in here, and I'm going to just clip on a few of these verses. This first one here is to grow in your inner strength. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. And he says, when I think of all of this, what he's referring to is verses 1 through 13, actually, that he's explaining God's mysterious plan. This mysterious plan that God would send his son to die for us because the law wasn't going to be able to make us right. Right? Religion and law and doing all the rules right doesn't make us right with God. It's only by Jesus Christ coming and dying and living a perfect sinless life, dying and being buried and rising again, it's the only way we can be made right with God. Because he's the only perfect sacrifice that we couldn't do on our own. We needed him to do that. And Paul says this amazingly outlandish thing to the Jews at the time. He's speaking to them. He says, hey, the Jews and the Gentiles, that's all the non-Jews, probably every single one of us in here. He says, you have the same inheritance in heaven. That God has made a way for you, even though you're not Jewish, you get to be a part of this promise as well. This amazing thing that God's mysteries of you don't have to do anything to earn it, you don't deserve it, but guess what? God's going to do it anyways. And so many times we get tripped up and thinking, I got to earn it, God, I got to sin less, I got to be a better person, I'm better than the next person. And all those things could be good, but that's not the point. The big picture is God did it because we couldn't do it on our own. God is good, and we aren't good enough without him. Nothing we do on our own. So Paul says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees, and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. He's praying for the strength, God's strength to be within each of us. You know, I think about what qualifies me to do what I do. Absolutely nothing apart from Jesus Christ. I know who my old self was, but I also know who God's called me to be now. And I believe every single one of you, you know who you are alone, right? You know who you are when nobody's watching. You know who you are apart from Jesus, before Jesus. We all know that, our past selves. And some of us are stuck there. Some of us are going, I know who I am and I'm disqualifying myself. I can't do anything. And maybe some of you feel like you know God's called you to something. God's called you to ministry, not just preaching, but kids ministry, to youth ministry, to teaching, to leading, to loving other people. Ministry encompasses a lot of different things. Loving and building up the church. But so many times people disqualify themselves. Think, well, I looked at this thing, I said this thing, I hurt this person. None of that overrides what Jesus did on the cross. But being able to walk and pray and live in victory is where we got to get to. Not saying, God, would someday I could get this victory. We live in the place of victory now. He has overcome sin and death. We should walk and act like it. He didn't say, come get cleaned up first, get perfect, then come to me. He's like, let me clean you up, and now you begin to walk in victory. You begin to walk with that power and that passion and that confidence that comes from knowing who your dad is. My Father in heaven, and I know who I am as his son. Devil ain't got nothing on me. Sorry for the poor use of grammar there. Devil doesn't have anything on me. Right? And the world, the things of this world just don't matter as much anymore. The more you see and taste the things of heaven, the less the world has a grip on you. It's an amazing thing that happens. Like addictions to substances, addictions to things on this earth just fade. It's like, I don't even have a taste for that anymore. I don't even desire that anymore because I've tasted the things of heaven. And they're so much bigger, greater, and I don't have enough English words to use to explain how great and glorious God is and what he has for each and every one of us. See, fasting and prayer, it has to come to from a place of humility. That we can have that confidence, but the humility is power under control. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself, but it's remembering where our power comes from. Where our strength comes from, the strength of God. And when we go to God humbly and say, God, you're God, I'm not, you got the instructions, I don't, but God, help me with this. It always puts us in a place of humility. And that's where power can really come and where fruit can come and where we can see results with prayer and fasting. Sometimes people ask, I just don't know how to pray or who to pray to what is this? Who do I pray to? Is it God? Is it the Son? Is it the Holy Spirit? Like, who do you pray to? Well, here's what I'm going to say. Prayer is usually directed to the Father through the Son by the empowering and direction of the Holy Spirit. Pray to God the Father, creator of everything. The Father, Son, and Spirit, they're the Trinity. They're one God, but three different persons. And I don't have time to get into all that, but to understand that it's because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He's our mediator. He's the one who allows us to come to God the Father, to boldly enter the throne of God, but through the empowering and the direction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's our advocate, our helper. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit so we know how to pray. He reminds us of Jesus' teachings. He reminds us of who we are in Christ. And we pray to the Father through the Son by the empowering and direction of the Holy Spirit. And what results when we are strengthened in our inner man? Well, that word empower, to empower us, it's a dominating strength. A dominating strength. Oftentimes, you may see pictures of like good and evil, the yin and yang, the black and the white fighting back and forth. And that's nothing like what it is in heaven. But it's nothing compared to God's power compared to any other power on earth. I mean, imagine like the biggest power, the most powerful thing we have on earth is atomic bombs, to be able to split water molecules and the massive energy and power that comes from atom bombs. Or picture the sun, like how big this giant ball of gas and energy and fire. It's probably the biggest thing like I could understand in my human mind of the power of the sun. You stay out too long, you get burnt. Anybody get sunburned before? Right? You understand the sun's power. It's so far away. How does it have the power to fry an egg, right? To fry our skin, to grow all these things, this magnificent power. But then compare that to God's power. Not just to raise Jesus from the dead or to raise other people from the dead, but that power to override the legal transaction to move us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. God created the sun. He created the stars in the sky. The creation isn't greater than the creator. Right? God's power is so much more than we can humanly comprehend. But to realize we have that miraculous power over the enemy, over our past, over the lies that have been spoken to us. And his desire, Christ's desire, is for him to be at home in our hearts, dwelling there permanently. It's not just in our heads. It's not just information, but he's got to be moved to our hearts. Paul's prayer is that Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Just as you grow in a relationship with anybody, it takes time. It takes communicating. It takes practice. It takes sounding silly at times. But the desire is God wants us to come to him first, each and every time. So we're going to strengthen our inner man to ask for the strength of God. We also pray to be grounded in God's love. Verse 17 continues. He says, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. That word understand there is to seize, to grab hold of with a decisive initiative. He's saying this should be for all of us. All of us can understand, all of God's people, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. I'm so looking forward to February. We're going to be starting a series all about God's love, what biblical love truly is. Not what the world says, not what the news says, not what the media says. What does the Bible say God's love really is? He continues in verse 19. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to fully understand, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. He uses a different word for understand. Again, this was written in the Greek text and translated to English, so two different words for understand. Here, he says, beyond intellectual, beyond just what we can understand in our minds. It's comprehending on a spiritual and experiential level. It goes beyond just what we feel, but it goes so much deeper. Verse 17, he said, your roots will grow deep down in the ground. The picture here, the phrase, it's like a tree where the roots grow deep down in the ground as if they're twisting around rocks and they're steadfast. They cannot be uprooted. That's Paul's prayer, and that's my prayer for us, is that we would be a people, God's people, where we'd be so rooted in God's love that his love would grow deep, deep down in the soil, twisting around the rock of Jesus, and it can't be uprooted. Nothing can uproot us. The storms come, the winds blow, but we cannot be uprooted. That's what it means to be grounded in God's love, to know his love for me. That he, no matter what the circumstances look like, I know who I am in Christ. I know who my God is. You cannot pull me out. Not only that, how do we experience God's love? So many times we experience it in community, in family, with one another. Right? We experience family when we get into those tricky situations. We have those butting of heads, and we got to work through it. Man, every time my wife, and I know she's going to be embarrassed about this, but every time we have an argument or we don't get along, surprise, surprise, pastors are real people. Sometimes we don't always see eye to eye, but every time we work through it, every time we are humble and we say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Guess what? Our love is strengthened. Our marriage is strengthened. Our relationship is strengthened. It takes the storms to strengthen you. And just like trees, and I was reading all kinds of stuff, and I don't have time to share all what I read about. And I'm not an expert in trees or anything like that, but the idea of trees, when they grow together in groves, like a bunch of trees together, some of the tallest trees, like sequoias and redwoods, their roots actually don't go that far out. You would think this giant tree, its roots got to extend so far, but when they grow so close together, the roots, the strength from them actually comes because the roots grow together. They all have their own root system, but they grow together, and that's what gives them strength. And in fact, it says, I read this off a site, the relationship between plants and that root system is not only beneficial, but it's actually essential or critical for healthy growth in many and even all plants. That trees need one another. How many of you know we need one another? We need to be grounded in love together. So when one of us is having a hard time, saying, man, I just don't know. I'm having a hard time. You got a tree next to you saying, you can do it. You're not alone. I'm going to pray with you. Let's pray first. Because God's not going to leave you or forsake you. God has a perfect plan for you. We can build each other up in God's love by sharing the truth of his word and the truth of even our experiences that we've each had. We experience God. We understand him beyond intellect, but on a spiritual and experiential level. So what are the results of praying first? You'll have the fullness of God. This full measure that Paul talks about. This describes a ship with a full cargo and crew, or a town with no empty houses. Make it a little more relatable to us. It's like a restaurant that has fully staffed cooks and servers, and all the food on the menu is available. Anybody else going out to eat lately? Right, we don't need any help. They're full, right? They got full staff, full menu, full kitchen, right? That's what this is like, is fullness of God, that we would know God on an experiential level. When you have the fullness of God, you lack nothing. It may look like it on your bank account. It may look like it in some areas of your life. But when you have the fullness of God, every need is satisfied. Every desire is met. And even as we're starting prayer and fasting as a church this week, and I invite you to participate in some way, to cut out something. And as I feel hungry, man, I just remember the hunger of God is so much better. When we hunger and thirst for the things of heaven, and he satisfies those needs, he meets those needs, it brings us fullness and joy. So we're going to pray to understand and experience God's love, to be rooted and grounded in his love. And the third point, for the greatness of God's power to be demonstrated. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Why do we settle for just information when God wants a spiritual transformation? He wants to transform our lives, and we must see God as the God of the impossible. Instead, sometimes we look at God as a vending machine, right? We put a little money in, we hit the right code. I got to say the right prayer, I got to do the right thing, got to go to church. We try to hit the right code, and we hope that we get the thing we're looking for comes out. We treat God like a vending machine many times, and it rarely works well for us. Or sometimes we hit Snickers or chips and he gives us an apple. And we're like, God, what's up? And he says, I know what you asked for, but this is what you need. God knows what you need. And often our prayers are more about, God, what is it I should be praying? God, what is it I truly need? Instead of coming to him with what we want, let's ask him what we need. Well, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You realize God has so much better plans for your life than you even do? Whatever plans you have for your life, whatever dreams, whatever hopes, whatever aspirations you have, deep in your heart, you say, God, if I just someday could do this, or God, I want to be at this place at this point in my life, or I want to go see this, whatever that is, God has better plans for you than you even realize. He says it right here, that no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. It might not always feel like it. It might not always seem like it. You might not always see what he's doing. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. It's spiritual, it's supernatural, but his plans for you are so much better. He loves you dearly. He cares about what you care about. But he's also saying, will you care about what I care about? Will you love what I love? So I'm inviting you to be a part of praying as a church. And we have a website with resources available on the screen. You're welcome to pull out your phone, take a picture of this, scan it. You can go to the website. We even have these paper copies for any of you who want a paper copy. It's on cardstock. It's really nice. Spare no expense. But you can pull it up on your phone. You can have it with you on your phone, on your or wherever you're at, praying each day, reading what we're reading together as a church. On the website, there's also going to be a video posted each day, just a short little devotional to get you something started, to feed you. These, if you do want a paper copy, are at Connection Point in the back. The point of this is to participate in some way, to pray as we're all praying, to fast something. And just to help you with fasting, we do have also on that website resources of what fasting is. Fasting, there's 4 points there. What is fasting? Abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Fasting, simply put, is saying no to food so you can focus more on God. It's also a declaration of dependence upon God. And usually what I go to, the simplest way I can put it, is increase your devotion to God and decrease distraction. Decrease distraction. That doesn't always mean food, but it means maybe you should cut off social media for a week or ever. I mean, just a suggestion. But cut back on that stuff or say, you know what, for 7 days, I'm not going to look on anything on social media. Or maybe turn off the news, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off the talk shows. Those are all different ways, because I know sometimes there's medical reasons or dietary reasons you can't participate in a food fast. And I get that. I'm not asking you to do anything to intentionally harm yourself. But there's other ways of decreasing distraction and increasing our devotion. To read for 15 extra minutes today. To pray a little bit more today, this week. To take a step. Start with where you are and allow God to increase. So 4 reasons for fasting. And what I don't want is for us to focus so much. So many times people are like, what are you fasting from? I'm giving up ice cream. I'm giving up this. I'm giving up that. And the focus becomes so much on what we're giving up rather than focusing on why we're fasting in the beginning, to begin with. Right? There's 4 reasons for fasting among many of them. These are some that you can take a picture, research these scripture verses on your own. But to have power over the enemy. The enemy is constantly giving us distractions, constantly trying to pull us away from being devoted to God. And we must fast to remind ourselves, I got power over the enemy. The second thing there is the wisdom for future direction. Looking, if you got something coming up in your life, or you're looking for your purpose, or how can I be involved with something, or God, where are you leading me? Fast and seek God in that. Direction, advancement of the kingdom. How many of you want to see more people get saved? How many people have a better marriage, their relationship with God restored? I mean, there's so many things with the direction and advancement of the kingdom. I want to see people set free from the power of the enemy, set free from themselves to walk in victory. The 4th thing is to expand our faith through humility. We all have a level of faith we're at, but we can all grow in our faith and grow in our understanding of God and His love. Fasting without prayer, it's called dieting. Dieting's good. We should all probably diet something, right? Cut back on something. But fasting must include prayer. And when we pray and fast, we see things change. We don't see circumstances always change, but it changes our hearts. It changes our perspective. I want to share with you just personally my experience with fasting. I give up food. Sometimes I've done just water for a few days. Sometimes I do Daniel fast, right? Veggies and nuts. And occasionally I'll add some clean meats like boiled chicken. Anybody love eating boiled chicken? It's not very tasty. Some people raise their hands. So, it's whatever God's putting on your heart. My request is that you say, God, what would you have me do? Maybe it's one thing you could cut out. Maybe it's a full fast. Maybe you fasted a little bit before and He's saying, hey, try going with just water, juice, or broth. Again, all those resources are on the website. I want to help you find out what it is that God's saying to you to do. Not everybody's going to be doing the same thing. But when I've personally fasted, I'll be honest, most of the time, I'm miserable for those days I'm fasting. I got a headache. I'm cold. And honestly, times I can't hear God as well. And you go, what's the point of doing it? It's during the fast that can happen where I'm like, I'm blurry-minded. I can't focus clear. But once I complete and I say, okay, God, I did what you asked me to do, there's always breakthrough. It doesn't always come during, but it comes after. Because God blesses a heart that's genuine to hunger and thirst for Him. So whatever it is God's asking you to do, all I say is to do it, to complete it. to follow through, and there will be breakthrough on the other side. We often want results now. We don't want to read the instructions. We don't want to take the steps necessary. We want the results now. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes we just don't have enough faith to believe God can. I'm going to read to you one last verse. It's in Matthew 17. It says Jesus is with a crowd of people. They're at the foot of a mountain. And they're asking him, like, how do you cast out this devil, this person? Jesus just does it. And they're like, what were we doing wrong? Like, what's going on? And Jesus says, well, you don't have enough faith. But Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. That nothing would be impossible. Maybe you're here today and you go, I just don't have much faith. Well, Jesus is saying, start with what you have. Maybe you go, I just got a little mustard seed of faith. This quote, he says, I have a mustard seed and I'm not afraid to use it. Right? It's a quote that maybe when something bad's happened in your life, you go, hey, back off. I got a mustard seed. I'm not afraid to use it. Right? Our faith is a weapon. Our faith is something that can build us up and help us grow and understand who God is and who I am in light of that reality. Start with where you are. Whatever level of faith, if it's, hey, I just need to cut back on something. Maybe you need to cut out ice cream. Maybe you need to cut off sweets. Maybe, I'm not meddling. That's for me too. I cut off sweets and desserts and sugar. It's better for me physically, but it's also better for me spiritually. Start with what you have. Would you please stand to your feet? Make sure we have prayer teams if you can make your way up to the front. Before we pray, before we worship, I gotta ask you, maybe you're here and you go, I don't even know if I have faith, let alone a mustard seed. Maybe you just don't know where to begin. Maybe you're like, man, all this stuff I'm facing, these mountains in my life are so big, and I don't know what to do with all this. I'm here to tell you, you're in the right place. You're here on purpose, not by accident. That the faith that you need and the faith that's going to help you move those mountains begins with Jesus Christ. Begins with starting a relationship with him. It's not all the works. It's not all the religion. It's not all the working and doing. It's saying yes to what Jesus has already done. It's saying, I want to have that relationship with God the Father through his Son because of the power of the Holy Spirit. What's going to happen is you say yes to that. What we say is Jesus becomes the forgiver of your past. He wipes away all your sins. He's covered it for you. Then you begin to walk with him as a leader into your future. That he calls the shots. He's in charge. He's now Lord of your life. You say yes to that, the Bible will come alive to you. His word will speak to you like the creator of the heavens and earth is truly speaking to you. Because he is. Your prayer time will be so much richer. You'll experience him in a new way. So I have to ask, is there anybody here? You say, I need to say yes to that. I need this faith in my life, the saving faith. If that's you today, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand so I can pray for you. Anybody here? Don't miss out on this opportunity. Slip up your hand. I want to pray right now. Okay, Father God, we just pray right now for each and every person here. God, if they don't know you, they don't have a relationship with you, God, they don't even know if they have a mustard seed of faith, God, we pray for that saving faith that comes from knowing and experiencing you, beginning that relationship with you. God, I pray they wouldn't hold back, they wouldn't delay, but God, they would run to you full force. God, that there would be nothing that would get in their way from beginning that relationship with you, saying yes to you as forgiver of their past and leader to their future. And God, I pray for every other person here, for all of us, God, that you would increase wherever we are in our level of faith. God, to believe that nothing is impossible. That you are God and we are not. And God, we just want more of you. As we're about to sing, God, I pray that we'd all come to that place that you'd be able to use us. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. God, crush us and press away all the stuff that was gotten in the way. God, that we'd eliminate those distractions, not just put them off for a little while, but we'd eliminate them. God, help us remove them from our lives. God, that you'd bring new wine from us, new power from us, new effectiveness for your kingdom from us. God, take away our old flames. God, may we lay down our old lives and carry the new fire that you have for each and every one of us. God, we pray that your church would expand, your kingdom would advance, just as you said it would. In Jesus' name, amen. So I invite you to make your way. If you want to come up for prayer, come to the center. Ushers are going to direct you to one of the four prayer teams that are up front. And we're just going to worship for a couple songs, and then I'll come up and close us as we end. Let's worship, church.